I'm Kate Botello.
I'm David Castleman, and you're listening to The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio.
And today, The Green Room goes Hollywood.
Explorer's been hit. Explorer, do you read? Explorer, over. Explorer. Astronaut is off structure.
What do I
Dr.
do?
Stone is off structure.
What do I do?
Dr. Stone.
Who's his father? His father is in the arts.
You do an eclectic celebration of the dance. You do Fosse, Fosse, Fosse. You do Martha Graham, Martha Graham, Martha Graham. Or Madonna, Madonna, Madonna. But you keep it all inside.
The Traverse City Film Fest has turned Northern Michigan into a celebration of all things cinematic. There are hundreds of film screenings.
Yeah, there are movies everywhere. You can even watch a movie on a boat.
And it's not just Traverse City. You can catch a flick in Manistee or Sutton's Bay.
Now, the Film Fest is in its 11th year, and traditionally, it kicks off with a big party. So, David, you went. How was it?
It's one big block party in the street, across from the State Theater, and you'll find fans and filmmakers alike mixing it up. One of the partygoers, Ira Deutschman, has been to a lot of film festivals, and he can tell you the difference between Traverse City's and some of the more famous film fests.
Just pure and simple, it's just smaller.
Deutschman is a film professor at Columbia University in New York City, and also a distributor of movies. He says a good location and good management do matter, but sometimes the right film comes along and puts a festival on the map.
You know, the inciting moment for Sundance was Sex, Lies, and Videotape. When Sex, Lies, and Videotape premiered there, it was such a sensation and turned out to be such a big hit that it meant that all of the film distribution companies felt the need to be at Sundance from then on to scout films. And the minute that happened, they started getting better movies, or more consistently better movies. So it feeds on itself.
The question is, does the Traverse City Film Festival want to be the next Sundance? Adam Rakoff has a movie showing this week. He's a producer who says this film festival is unique.
I think some other festivals that are in smaller communities, smaller towns, the locals sometimes get annoyed that all these Hollywood types are, you know, invading their town or invading their community. And I think here everyone really embraces it and celebrates the art of filmmaking, and it's just great.
Sundance and Cannes draw tens of thousands of people, and that many people can turn a charming local festival into something else entirely. If a festival gets too big and crazy, lesser-known filmmakers can get shut out. Meet Neil Stino. He's from the UP and also happens to be a former IPR intern. His first film is a documentary called Nanique.
I went over to Vietnam in November, and essentially I followed a Vietnam veteran from right here in Traverse City. For him, it was essentially going back and trying to find a little forgiveness and peace from his past.
Stino rushed to get the film done. He entered the festival late. But when Michael Moore saw the movie, he said, "We want it in."
To be blessed with the fortune of like being able to show it in front of like the hometown crowd. I don't know how to put it. I'm just kind of still in disbelief that I'm walking the Traverse City Film Fest. How did this even happen? You know? We couldn't be more honored and excited. I could come up with every word from the thesaurus right now and throw it at you.
Nanique is showing with some other short films at the Bijou by the Bay this morning.
Now, Neil Stino is super great, and we just loved him, and we were always very nice to him, which, David, take note, is probably a good idea, because there is an old adage that you should always be nice to your interns, because someday they'll be more famous than you are.
Okay, and we're rolling, and action. Just go ahead when you're ready.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I've just been batmailing on my bat phone.
Yeah, can you just do the line, please?
I am Batman.
No, the other line?
Oh, right.
I know what you're thinking. He is the least qualified person to lead us. And you are right.
My name is Peter Quill.
There's one other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw.
Guys?
This is The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio.
So, David, we've heard from filmmakers and producers and other experts, but what is that one thing, that ties most movie houses and moviegoers together?
Popcorn.
Popcorn, yes. And one of the festival's venue managers, Lewis Dickinson, gave us some behind-the-scenes scoop. And listen, as far as popcorn goes, he is the man.
You need 4 ounces of kernels poured into a graduated measuring cup. And you add one scoop of something called Flavacol, which is a bright neon orange, but healthy for you, popcorn flavoring. And then you heat up the kettle, you pour the four cups of kernels in, and then you add coconut oil. And then after about 6 or 7 minutes, the popcorn starts to overflow, and you wait for it to basically, so it's only popping every couple of seconds, and then you dump it, and you repeat that ad nauseum.
How much popcorn do you sell?
I have no figure for that, honestly. I mean, we order over 60 50-pound bags of kernels. That should last us the festival, at least I hope it does, because those are the only numbers I have to go on.
And then how much of that do you think ends up on the movie theater floor getting thrown away?
We give it to Bark, and Bark does compost a lot of popcorn. And volunteers are welcome to take unsold popcorn home at the end of the night for a lot of people that have chickens or squirrels or just parties coming up that they want, like, stale popcorn for. So,
What's your favorite if you're making popcorn at home?
I've never made popcorn at home.
Really?
I've worked in movie theaters for 12 years. Popcorn is not something I'm interested in taking home with me.
Now, if you go to a movie theater, though, do you get it? Do you butter it? No?
No, I won't even I won't touch the stuff.
You're popcorned out.
Yeah, I'm popcorned out.
So even though he's popcorned out, Lewis does have one tasty suggestion for you. Try squeezing just a little bit of lemon juice on top. Not enough to make the popcorn collapse, but just a touch for a nice little zing.
This is The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio. Michael Culler produced the show this week. We had help from Daniel Wanchuroff. Sally Isley is our executive producer. I'm David Castleman.
And I'm Kate Patello. See you next time.